It is Love. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1899. A few miles from Paris, the road curved, and soon they were bowling along on the last stretch through the country under the trees. "We should be reaching the house very soon," Lady Verna remarked, looking about eagerly.
"Don't worry, mademoiselle," replied Gaston, her driver. "I know where we are going."
The car was a magnificent machine, the very latest model from the Daimler factory. Gaston loved driving it, but he was very conscious that it did not belong to him. He was simply the hired driver for the spirited and decisive young English lady who sat in the passenger seat beside him. She had a definite air about her that he knew from experience came only from belonging to the aristocracy. She was charming, but it was clear that she was used to having her own way. She was also very pretty, dressed in the most fashionable travelling wear for ladies. Her jacket and skirt were deep blue, nipped in to a tiny waist. Underneath the jacket was a pale blue blouse, heavily decorated with embroidery and lace. On her head she wore a large hat, anchored down with a luxuriant veil that tied under her chin. Gaston had accepted the job of driving her and her stern-faced chaperone from Calais to this house because it afforded him a free journey to visit his fiancée.
"Are you all right back there, Winifred dear?"
Lady Verna called over her shoulder.
"I'm managing," came the unpromising reply.
Verna glanced back to smile at the woman who had been her nurse and companion for years. Although quite elderly, Winifred let nothing come between her and what she saw as her duty, accompanying her headstrong young mistress here, there, and everywhere. Whenever possible, she tried to stand between Lady Verna and disaster. Not an easy task, as the young lady had a passion for adventure and no sense of fear. For instance, she thought it perfectly natural to travel to France to visit her brother, Andrew, and to do so in her father's brand new Daimler. They had travelled to Dover, crossed the Channel by ferry, and at Calais she had calmly hired a driver.
"Thank goodness," Winifred sighed to herself. "We shall soon reach the house, and then her brother will be responsible for her."
Soon they were turning into the gates of the little estate that Andrew had lived in since inheriting it from a French aunt 3 years ago. And there he was, on the steps to welcome them. Except that his first words to Verna were not at all welcoming.
"What the devil are you doing here?" he hissed, surprise battling with irritation.
"Charming, brother dear," exclaimed Verna. "I am as delighted to see you as you are to see me."
His petulant face settled into a scowl.
"All right," he sulked. "I didn't mean it to sound quite like that."
"What did you mean?" Verna asked, accepting his help to descend. "You knew I was coming to visit you."
"You said you would be driving the car down here at some time, so that I could have a look at it. You were vague about when, and now this is a bad time. I have to rush off."
"Have to or want to?" she asked.
She knew her brother only too well, and he never did anything that did not suit him.
"I've had an invitation to make a long visit with the Solosi family. I have no idea for how long," he said awkwardly, "and I'm about to go."
"But they live in Rome," she protested.
"Yes, and that's where I'm going, to Rome. Look, Verna, this is very important to me. They have a daughter. She's very pretty and very, well,
very rich.
Money is useful, and this house is very expensive."
"But you cannot leave when I have just arrived."
"I have to. They are expecting me," he said, his tone indicating that there should be no argument.
"And just what am I supposed to do?" she cried in outrage.